Hi, I'm Amanda Pacheco.
This is She Love.
Hello, it's Davida.
I'm Gina Lovato.
Hey, it's Alana Dunn.
I'm Caitlin Berry.
This is Melissa Novak.
It's Sean Jacobson.
Hey, it's Bethany Nicole, and welcome to Sex Party.
And welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Sex Party with your host, Dustin Rybka.
Welcome to Sex Party. I'm your host, Dustin Rybka. With me on the show this week is Stephanie Smith. That's right. You guys asked for it. She is back. We're going to check in. The last time we left Stephanie, she had just broken up with her boyfriend, whose code name is Koala. There was cheating. There was lying. There was all sorts of things happening. Did they get back together? Did they break up? They were living together. I advised her to kick him out. This is a doozy. There's more cheating. There's more lying. There are huge revelations, huge red flags. Those of you who asked for an update are not going to be disappointed. Before we get to the conversation with Stephanie, I want to remind you guys that Apple has instituted some sort of new process for podcasts where if you are not subscribed or you're not sure that you're subscribed, they are no longer notifying you that the show is available. So they're essentially unsubscribing you from Sex Party. So if you listen to this show on Apple Podcasts, go to the Sex Party page on Apple Podcasts, upper right hand corner, there's some sort of arrow button, download button, check mark button, pause button, whatever. Make sure that that has a check mark. If it doesn't have a check mark, hit the button. It will resubscribe you. I know it's a hassle, but you want to make sure you're subscribed, right? Make sure you're subscribed on Spotify as well in case they do some sort of weird process there too. And of course, you can watch these episodes on YouTube, and you want to be subscribed on YouTube because then you get the video, right? Okay. So without further ado, let's get to this shocking update with Stephanie Smith.
This week's conversation.
Stephanie Smith, welcome back to Sex Party. This is your fifth appearance. So now you are the number one most appeared guest who's
really
appeared the most, whatever. Yes, you have taken the crown. The crown is yours. How are you doing, first of all?
Not great, but you know, I love being on here, and this always makes me happy, so I'm good for the time being. But overall, life sucks, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, well, okay, so just in case, and I'll just do a quick recap because I want you to get into it, but like, you, since the beginning of Sex Party, since the beginning of the show, you've come on the show, you've talked about this gentleman. At first, he was a hookup. Then you guys are serious. Then you're moved in. And then you guys are adopting like lizards and all these things. And then there was like this whole thing about you wanting threesomes or like a more of a non-monogamous thing. And he was like, only for him, whatever, not for you. And then the last one, you were here for a two-parter just before Thanksgiving, I believe.
Yes.
And we came to the conclusion, or at least you came to the conclusion, you guys were broken up, you're still living together, and that was going to be it. But I had this weird feeling that that was not going to be it. There's much more chaos than that, but I've been asking my audience, who do you want to see on the show? And by overwhelming majority, it was, we need the update from Stephanie Smith. Something weird is going on. So welcome back to Sex Party. Tell me everything. Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me. I love being on. I told you I'd come on like once a week if I could swing it. You know, you would think that since he had gotten someone pregnant last summer that I would not have stayed with him. But your gut instinct was right. We did get back together. I think actually when we recorded, it was like October. Him and I broke up in October of 2023. And we decided that he was going to rent out my spare room. And it was just really chaotic between the holidays, because I think we were back together by Christmas though. So we had gone through Thanksgiving like independently, but, but yeah, it was just like, it was a mess, like living together, just because I was so sad because, you know, part of it was an ego thing because he had broken up with me. And I just like wasn't ready to throw in the towel at that point. So because he had cheated on me so many times in our relationship and he was just kind of acting, I don't know, like how a lot of guys act, like they don't talk about their feelings or they just kind of ignore shit and whatever. So he was kind of going through it in his own way. And I was just taking it as like, oh, he just is ignoring me. He doesn't want to talk to me. Like he doesn't care that I exist and whatever. So I started being toxic and petty and started bringing guys back to my place just to, you know, rub it in his face and to spite him. And it was, you know, it was all guys that I had hooked up with before. It was just like old guys from my roster years ago that still live locally that are still on the dating apps. And I'm like, oh, perfect. I'm like, this isn't going to take a lot of effort. So I started kind of entertaining that whole situation between October and November. And it was just like, you know, it wasn't making me feel any better. Like I still felt shitty about the situation because like, you know, I had to rehash everything that was happening because all the guys knew me and they had a history with me. So they're like, look, I'm not trying to get my ass kicked by your fucking ex-boyfriend who's your roommate. Like what's going on? So, you know, just having to like be actively telling the story to guys to be like, oh yeah, my ex is like, you know, still living here and these are all his animals and whatever. It was just like, I don't know. It was just bad. It was a bad situation. So,
well, real quick, right? So did you have dudes over and were you having sex like really loud to annoy him? Were you were you doing crazier sex?
Yeah. So most of the time he only brought someone back to the house once. He had asked my permission and everything though, but, he was just actively going out and like sleeping around where for me, I was bringing guys over, but I would try to plan it when he wasn't around. So, you know, I didn't have to like deal with all of that drama because I know how he was acting. Cause even though he was the one cheating on me and doing all the bad behavior and treating our relationship like a joke, he was still the one that's like, I can't see you with other guys and this and that. I'm like, you don't even want to sleep with me. Like you don't even want to have sex with me, but I'm not supposed to have sex with anybody else now. Like make it make sense. Like, I don't understand. Like if you're sitting there telling me your body's disgusting, I don't like having sex with you because I'm not attracted to your body and all of that, fine, but own it and then understand like I need to get my needs met elsewhere. Like you can't not have sex with me and then like not expect me to not want to sleep with anyone. Like it's just insane.
Right.
So, I don't remember exactly how the conversation had come up, but like it was around the around Thanksgiving-ish. We had basically just, you know, we both were just really sad, you know, because it's like hard to see like someone that you obviously have some type of feelings for and care about, even at a human level, you know, like just like suffering. And we both were suffering. So he had a conversation with me one night. We both happened to be home and we're eating dinner together. And he was just like, look, like I'm really, you know, I'm really sick of losing good people in my life because I'm stubborn and not making positive changes and this, that, and the third. And, you know, it was just a conversation about him kind of owning that he needs to make changes and he understands, you know, the issues that were happening in our relationship. And, you know, he said, he was like, I don't want it to be open. While we figure this out, like if we're going to get back together or not, like, I would rather us just focus on ourselves and, you know, we can entertain like maybe the threesome thing only down the road. Like it wouldn't be like him doing stuff on the side or me doing stuff on the side. So I was hesitant, but I was just like, all right, like he had already started to make some positive changes. And I was like, all right, like, you know, like this is like big of him, you know, in certain ways. And I was like, I'm just, you know, I'm going to be cautious, but like, this is positive. So let's see what happens. So we get through the holidays. We, you know, spend Christmas with our respective families. Like his family does a big thing on Christmas Eve and then mine does Christmas Day. So we were kind of between the two. And then we decided to go away for New Year's. We went to Nashville for the weekend. And that was kind of like, what reset everything. Like, cause we had never been on a trip together before. Like everything in when our relationship started was like, it was very serious from the start, because not too long into it, I had gotten my DUI. I'm in the middle of a lawsuit right now with, regarding some ex-employers, and you know, my life is in shambles. So it's like, my life is like, it's, you know, not for the faint of heart right now. And you know, he's only 23 and like, hasn't dealt with this type of stuff. I mean, I'm his first relationship. You know, I'm the first girlfriend he's ever had. And, you know, a lot of stuff in my life was negatively affecting me and therefore, you know, taking a toll on him, because everything was just very serious all the time. Sure. And, you know, so to get away and go to Nashville for a few nights, like it was fun. Like we, like it just felt really good. Like I remember sitting at, we were at Kid Rock's bar, and I just remember looking over to him and being like, wow, like this feels really good. Like I really like love this kid. Like I, you know, so much has changed for the positive. Like I really hope that this continues. So we get back, everything's like still good basically for like the month of January. And then February, like shit started to kind of get weird a little bit, but like, I don't know. I don't really know what it was. There wasn't anything specifically that necessarily set me off, but I just started to get the ick. And I don't know what like really started it, but there was just things that like I would see that I'm just like, all right, his behavior's kind of changing. I'm already starting to doubt like if he's still being loyal to me. He's, you know, just like old patterns were starting to come back. And I just was like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Like I was like, I just don't like I just don't feel the same. You know what I mean? Like right, the obsession right. almost that I felt before of like being so like into him and being like, no, I want this to work and I want to fight for this and whatever. And I was like, you know what? Like I'm going to step back. Like I'm going to step back from all of this and see if he, you know, changes his ways again, or, you know, I was kind of just testing him, or, you know, to see if he's going to step it up in certain ways or whatever. And he didn't. He just kept getting worse and worse. And I was just convinced that he, you know, he was cheating on me the entire time. So February comes and goes. Nothing dramatic really happened. you know, I mean, like we got.
Okay, wait. Time out. Because I got to take this time out. So, okay. Let's go back for one second. And I'll make this quick because I feel like, you know, we're on a good fucking ride here. But. Yeah. So there was a month there.
Yeah.
That was like pre-Thanksgiving, right?
So yeah, we broke up like mid-October. It was like okay. like right at the so, middle. So yeah.
Right. So Halloween, did you get like slutty rambunctious for Halloween and bring dudes home? Did you party? Okay.
No.
And then were there any instances where you brought a dude home and like he came home with a girl and you're there with a dude? Did that ever happen?
There was one time. So there was one time I had a guy over and he ended up coming home from work, but I don't even know if he realized that the guy was there, because the guy and I had already had sex and then we were just hanging out. Cause like, it was a guy from my past. So we had, you know, we were just sitting on my balcony smoking weed. So I was just kind of, you know, chilling, hanging with him. And then finally, he left and Koala was hiding in his room with his door closed. So I was like, all right, perfect. So the kid just left and that was it. The other time I had plans to hang out with this guy and Koala ended up calling out of work. So he was home all day. So it kind of fucked up my plans. So he ends up going out like really late, like not, it was like in the evening, like later in the evening. And sure. I was like, what the fuck? So I'm like, where, like, I basically was just touching base with him. And I was like, where are you going? Like, I'm having someone come over, FYI. And he was like, all right, like whatever. He was like, I'm going to go like hang out. He's like, I'm hanging out with this girl. And I was like, okay. So the kid that I was hooking up with, you know, was going to come over and he was like, Koala ended up texting me being like, oh, can I bring the girl that I'm with back to the house? And I was like, at first I was like, no, because I was just being spiteful. But then I was like, whatever. I'm like, this is like, I can't just tell him he can't have people over like forever. You know what I mean? Especially when I'm rubbing it in his face. So I was like, whatever. I'm like, it's fine. So he's like, we're literally not going to bother you. He was like, because I said to him, I was like, if this bitch tries shit with me, I was like, I'll knock her fucking teeth in and she's going to be swallowing chiclets. Cause I was like, I'm not going to be fucking disrespected in my own house. Cause like, I know how girls can be. I was like, if she already knows that you're living with your ex, I was like, and it was fine because she was atrocious looking. So I was like, whatever. She looked like she worked at like Hot Topic in the early 2000s. But In any case, she was like, I said to him, if this bitch tries anything, I'll fuck. He's like, you can't physically. I said, I can do whatever the fuck I want in my own house. I said, if she looks at me the wrong way, I said, I'm just telling you, I'm not in a great mental state. So you better fucking watch your little friend. So
you had a guy over and he had a girl over at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. So then when you guys go, is there like a moment where you guys are all in the kitchen and it's like, no.
Hid out the whole old time in his room. I was in the kitchen with my guy because he had been to my place a million times before. Sure. Like
did you guys try to outdo each other with the loud sex?
I didn't even hear them having sex, which was even funnier because I purposely left my door open and the kid that I was hooking up with knew the situation and because he was toxic as fuck and he was like, hell yeah, let's like fucking go for it. So we had sex and then we were talking and I was like showing him things around the house. Like he was asking about the animals, which like I knew was going to set Koala off because they're not really my animal. I mean, some of them are, but like they're mostly his, you know?
Right.
And so I'm like talking about the animals. We're standing in the kitchen. I like made food for him. Like, so, you know, Koala and his little fucking ugly girl, whatever, were sitting like literally trapped in the room. Like they wouldn't come out. So finally my guy left because he had worked the next day early. And Koala and his girl were still in there. So I went outside to smoke weed and I was like, you have 10 minutes to get her the fuck out of the house. Cause I was like, I'm going to be out and about like doing things in the house. And I said, I don't want to see her or there's going to be a fucking cop here later, you know? So he quickly shuttled her out of the house and drove her back to wherever, you know, cause he had picked her up. So,
okay.
That was that. So there was no drama, but, you know, I mean, it was drama like between ourselves because we were both like sad and just trying to be spiteful to each other. But
so that's the only time that something like that happened where you guys like were double booked. You guys had people there at the same time.
Yeah. Okay. For the most part, he was just going and like either fucking people in his car or like going to their houses.
Right. Yeah.
So.
So at what point do you decide, hey, is it like some lonely rainy night in Florida where you're like, well, I guess we could watch a movie. And then like you watch a movie and you start snuggling up and you sleep. I mean, what you were so when you were here on the show the last time, you were like, we're Taylor Swift. Like we're never ever getting back together.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you're leaving a little bit of the door open. I could kind of feel it.
Yeah.
And then. You guys get back together, but like what caused it? Was there just one specific night where he was nice? He baked you a pie, put on a bow tie. I mean, what happened? What, like, how did you guys get back together after all this shit?
Well, the first like couple weeks were definitely like the most difficult. Like I would say October was a wash. Like we both were upset. We were both like kind of adapting to like coexisting together, but not talking. Like that whole month, like we basically were just like in our respective rooms, but the doors closed and like timing it. So like, you know, if I was in the shower, he would go into the kitchen and make food or vice versa. And, you know, just like random shit. Cause we were just not like, we weren't trying to, like, we were just avoiding each other. Like we weren't, you know, it was just, it was weird. We were both sad. And, you know, cause like for him, I think the sadness was a little bit different because he put himself in this situation because of his own actions where I was sad because I tried my hardest to make the relationship work and it got me nowhere. So I think we were sad for different reasons. But yeah, I mean, there wasn't any like one pivotal moment. Like in November, things started to get a little easier just with like us tolerating each other. He knew how sad I was like about the situation when he brought the girl home. That was the last, like, I think that was actually the last time that when we were double booked, like that we both had brought people over because I was just like, this isn't like healthy for me mentally. Like I'm just like acting out because I'm trying to be spiteful. And, you know, he basically was doing the same because he knew that I had a guy coming over. So he was just trying to be spiteful back. So that's when we kind of had the conversation because I was texting a friend of mine about ketamine and I was like, hey, do you have a ketamine plug? And I accidentally text him and he was like, are you good? Like, what do you need ketamine for? And I was like, well, obviously I'm not great, you know, like considering I'm living with you and you just cheated on me all this time and it was like for nothing. And I was like, don't worry about it. Like, I'll be fine or whatever. So then, you know, he whatever, we were like talking via text and he was like, I'm just like, I'm so sorry that you're so sad and like, you're not handling this well. He was like, I'm not either. And then it was like around like that week or so that we ended up having dinner together at home. Like we didn't plan it. Like it was just, you know, cause his work schedule, he works in retail. So his schedule's all over the place. And I used to work for an insane person and I worked like 14-hour days. So there was, you know, a lot of times where we wouldn't, you know, run into each other, but, we ended up sitting down and that's when he had the conversation with me about how he doesn't want to lose any more good people in his life and he needs to make some changes and this and that. And, you know, and I did see positive changes in the time that we were broken up, like life changes that he was doing. And then just like the way that he was talking about our relationship, you know, it just was like, it was hopeful, you know? So I was like, all right, like I'm willing to consider this, but like, we weren't like back together at that point. Right. I would say like after Nashville. So like after New Year's was when we were like officially back together at that point.
When did you guys sleep with each other after breaking up?
Like him and I?
Yeah. What was the first time you guys like actually had sex with each other? After you were broken up, you're living in the same house, you're seeing other people.
Yep.
Clearly you were mad, right?
Yep.
And like you, cause you were on the show. We did a fucking two-parter.
Yeah.
That's how mad you were. Right. and you know, and we talked about everything, him, not wanting you to sleep with other people, but he's allowed to do it. And then, you know, the trans, you slept with trans women to try to make him happy and like all these things.
Yeah.
And so, At what point, how long was it that you were broken up living in the same house that sex happened?
Between him and I would say it was after New Year's, because so in November was when we started to kind of like entertain the idea of getting back together, or, you know, chatting about it, whatever. So then December comes, that's when we were on better terms and we were still talking. We were still living like in separate rooms, you know, cause we were just still trying to figure stuff out. And then we were planning the trip, you know, to, Nashville, but I got very sick. He was sick right before Christmas into Christmas Eve. And then I was violently sick, like on my trip, like, or on the trip that we were on. So we basically, right. Like, I couldn't even like breathe out of my nose. Like, I don't even know how I made it to Nashville. Honestly, I was that sick, but.
Well, what made you guys go to Nashville together? If you were still like unsure of what's what.
We had talked about the trip prior to breaking up. We had talked about it, like, I think over the summer and, we had started to book some things for it before we broke up. Like we had booked, I think like our hotel and all that stuff. And there was free cancellation and everything, but I had said to him, I was like, I need to know sooner rather than later. But then since we were on good terms at the time, we just decided to go. Cause we were like, all right, well maybe this will be good for us to like get away and it won't be so serious. And like, you know, we had never done a trip together. We had never done anything like that. Everything for us was always like work or just hanging out here in Florida. So on the trip, we ended up not having sex because we just were both so sick. Like it was just not cute. So we ended up having sex. I don't remember exactly when, but like we had sex when we got back and we both weren't like dying of the plague or whatever the fuck we had.
Right.
Yeah. So that was that. So then January, like everything was fine. February, I was starting to get the ick again. And then March has been a fucking shit show. Like he's been like mentally checked out. And I like, again, like I have noticed changes in him for the positive and he's definitely stepped up in our relationship. Or had stepped up in our relationship for those couple months, because I've been dealing with, you know, some financial issues just because of an active lawsuit I'm involved in, and just my DUI is finishing up, and that's just, you know, costs an arm and a leg with, you know, insurance and all that stuff. So I've been in a bit of a pickle. And I had said to him, I was like, look, like I'm going to need your help. Cause as of right now, I don't know if I told you on the last, any of the episodes actually, which I feel like your listeners are going to have a fucking field day with this. So he's never paid for anything the entire time that we've been together. Like not a thing.
Oh God.
So like,
yeah. And you're like he's living with you, and I mean, this is bad.
So this is really bad. This is like the extent of like, so these were some of the positive changes that had been made in the last couple months. But like, so I own my condo. My grandparents bought it years ago and they had given it to me when I was in college. I've lived here since college. And I don't have rent. You know what I mean? I own my place outright. You know, so my bills or whatever, like I have my HOA, my, you know, standard bills and insurance and all that stuff. So when we first started dating and he moved in, I never was going to sit there and like make him split everything 50-50 with me because I own my place. You know what I mean? Like his name was never going to be on it. Like I don't have a mortgage. I have the title. Like it's, you know, it's my place. So I was just like, all right, you know, whatever. He's not working right now. Like maybe he'll eventually contribute in other ways. So then once he started working at his first retail job, because he was very depressed when we first started living together and he wasn't working. He then got a job and within like the first year, and the entire time he again wasn't contributing and he was just stashing away all this money. And I was just like, I was arguing with him about it because I'm just like, all right, you're putting yourself into debt buying all these fucking snakes. Cause like ball pythons can be expensive. You can buy, like, I mean, I have a couple that I could probably sell for like $500 or $600 a piece, if not more. Like they're very expensive. So, you know, he's going into debt for that. He's like all this other shit. And I'm just like, but in the back of my head, I know that he doesn't have a car payment. He doesn't pay his health insurance. Like, cause he's still on his family's stuff. You know, he doesn't pay his phone bill. He doesn't pay his, you know, car insurance and nothing. He doesn't pay for any of that. So he has no bills, essentially no student loan stuff, nothing. And is now working full time at this point. So I'm like, okay, like, where's the money going? But I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, maybe he has like other debts and shit that I don't know about. So fast forward to like more recently, he has a new job and he's making more money. And he knows the financial situation I'm in because of this lawsuit that I'm in, because my lawyer fees are astronomical right now. And I said to him, I was like, look, like I'm switching jobs and I need your help. And like, I'm not arguing with you about this because mind you, he was paying rent from like October, November, December, and then January, he just stopped paying. And it was my fault for like not even following up with him about it. But like we were like on better terms. So I just like wasn't making a big deal because he was paying for other stuff that he hadn't normally paid for. So when I switched my job, I said to him, I was like, I need you to really step it up. Like I said, I cannot afford to buy certain things right now. So like, I need you to offset it and like buy groceries and whatever, because again, he wasn't, you know, doing that. So he started to help out in that case. But in the midst of all this, I still noticed changes in him, like back to his old ways kind of changes, not the positive changes that he was doing. So I'm like, what the fuck's going on? So I'm like, he keeps like hiding in his bathroom and he always is like, oh, I'm a guy. Like I always have to shit. I'm like, okay. I was like, sir, I said, I've dated a lot of guys in my life and I have a brother. I have a dad, you know, I've had a grandfather at one point, you know, like, let's not sit here and act like you're shitting six times a day. Okay. Like, and if you are, you need to see a doctor immediately because this is not normal. Like that was like my whole thing with him. I was like, you have something wrong with you or you're fucking lying. Right. Okay. So finally, obviously we all know that I'm toxic and I can't fucking help myself, but go through all of his shit, which I do on a regular basis.
So you put a camera in the bathroom?
No, I didn't. There's not a camera in the bathroom. There are still other cameras in the house that he doesn't know about, but they're like,
okay, wait, okay. Well, but just hold on. Cause I have a couple, I want to bring the audience, is their jaw is on the floor. Maybe they crashed the car.
Please don't crash your car.
It's kind of hard with this fucking story. So listen, when you say he's never paid for anything, do you just mean like rent?
No, and everything.
Like utilities everything. And whatever.
Like even okay, dates. So, like if we so would this, go out to dinner, he would either, when we got back together, he would split the bill with me, or I would end up paying nine times out of 10, I was paying for everything.
So he's never, before the getting back together this time, like leading up to this, leading up to this latest. Okay. But before that, like when you guys were initially together, living together, whatever, was he paying for dinner, drinks?
No. Oh, it gets better. Just wait. So, okay.
All right.
So obviously I have the cameras in the house. So like he's he's cognizant of the camera that I have at the front door that he knows about. So he doesn't make phone. He doesn't even have really any friends, to be quite honest with you. So there is really no one that he can talk to on the phone. So some of the things.
Yeah, because he won't pay for it.
Right. Well, because I used to find out shit when he would have phone calls. So now it's just like, whatever. The cameras are kind of useless because it's like all he does is like hide in his room. So, or the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So I started like sitting there and I started questioning him about, you know, who he was talking to and all this stuff. Cause I was like, there's no way that you're just hiding in the bathroom like this long. I said, that's ridiculous, you know? And So I started to go through, you know, some of his stuff. And another side note, I don't know if I disclosed this the last time, but he takes blue chews, which are basically like,
chewable Viagra.
Yeah, exactly. You just get them like, and so every single time, that's how I would always find out before that he would cheat on me, because I always call him a hoarder because he never throws anything out. So he would, every time he would cheat on me, he would take two of them and fuck whoever he was fucking and then leave them in his wallet. So, and all the time he would leave two in his wallet that were unopened. So then I would go into his wallet when I would suspect him being suspicious. And then I would see that they were either not in there anymore or the wrappers were in there. So that's how I caught him. I know it was very weird, but that's how I caught him most of the time, because I was like, oh, like the blue chews are, you know, missing from his wallet. So he gets, they're auto shipped and they're sent to our house. So in the last couple months, we've received 4 different packages of them. And I'm like, in all of my going through his shit, I'm like, oh, where are the packages? Like, where are they? So in early March, Stephanie lost her fucking mind. And when he was in the shower, I took his car key and I went down to his car because I was like, I know he's hiding shit. And I know it's not in his room because I've extensively gone through it. So I find them in his car in the glove compartment. So 3 of them weren't opened. 1 of them was opened. And I was like, well, I know that he didn't use these with me. So I'm like, all right. So now like my...
Three individual blue
chews. No. 3 packages. So we had 4 packages. So it, like in a package you get in the mail, it's a pack of 10. So there's 10 per pack and you get typically like, I think the auto ship is like once a month. So he had 4 packages of them. So 3 of the packages were like still in the mail wrapper or like mail label, like they weren't open. And then the 4th was opened. So I looked through the package and there was 6 left in there. So I was like, all right, he used 4 of them, which means he probably had sex twice. And on the camera before, like the one that like I used to catch him with everything on, he broke it because like he found out which camera it was and he like annihilated it that night. But in any case, I used to like, sometimes he would take a blue chew, like when he would jerk off. Cause like, I guess like it just makes it like better for guys or whatever. So I don't know. I don't have a dick, so I can't speak on that, but.
Is he taking blue chew because he needs, and there's nothing wrong with any of this physical part of what I'm going to ask you. We're not shaming anyone. Is he taking them because he needs them or because it heightens the experience? Cause.
So I think it's a little bit of both. So for me, he's always told me that he has performance anxiety. And so was watching this like viral, like TikTok or YouTube or whatever, some type of clip on the internet. And this woman was talking about how there's men in their early 20s or even middle 20s that have some type of erectile dysfunction because they're so obsessed with watching OnlyFans and porn and all of this stuff. So that when like an actual woman is in front of them, they're having this like anxiety and like they're just looking as porn as the baseline. So then the sex isn't good because they're using porn, fake porn, as their baseline. And then the woman's not getting pleasure. And now they're sitting there saying, oh, well, I'm terrible at sex and, you know, whatever. So he has always said to me from the beginning, prior to me seeing this clip, that he has performance anxiety. And that's part of the reason why he doesn't like sleeping with me, because, you know, he apparently needs to have like a big visual, like, you know, he can't have sex in the dark, basically, is what he says. Like, he needs visual. And he doesn't believe, like, I've spoken to him about this a million times, saying, I'm like, you have some type of like a porn addiction or, you know, something, like, not that he has to, and I don't mean addiction that you have to watch it every 5 seconds, but it's like, that's what his baseline is on. And I was like, I don't think you have a healthy relationship with sex and porn and all this stuff. I said, it's just, it's not like, to me, it's not normal. I've slept with enough 20-year-olds, like 20-something year olds, mm-hmm. to know that my body's never been perfect, but none of them have this issue because none of them have had a weird relationship with porn and OnlyFans and like the cam girls. And that's what he does. He like will talk to these cam girls and like jerk off for them sometimes or like whatever, just various things I've seen, you know, over our time together. Yeah. So in any case, so the blue chews, I think it's like part of it. I think he just likes the extra, like the heightened, you know, extra feeling. Cause like I said, I've seen him like take them before yeah. he'll jerk off sometimes. So part of me was like, okay, like he's adamant that he hasn't slept with anyone. And there was never really anything insinuating that he did, like, you know, he hadn't been coming home late for work or, you know, there was nothing like, it was always like he was going to work, he was coming home, his gym time was appropriate for how often he normally goes to the gym, you know, so I wasn't really like, I was like, something's not adding up. So I was like, well, maybe he took them just to like jerk off one day, like, I don't know, or maybe he like took them to go to the gym, like to help with like, you know, his like a testosterone pump, like, I don't know, you know? So I was like trying sure. to figure it out. But like, my gut was just like, okay, he's definitely sleeping around. So I go through his car and I find that. And so I'm like, all right, so there's six left and there should be, or, you know, and then there shouldn't be any more touched. So I go through his room more, you know, cause it's like when I go through his stuff, like a lot of times I have to play chess, you know, not checkers. Like it's like a marathon, not a sprint. Like I have to like keep some things in sometimes, which is like so toxic, but it's like, you know, instead of like freaking out and being like not having the full story, like I like to make sure I have all of my ducks in a row when I present him with the fact mm-hmm. that he's a fucking idiot. So in the midst of all this, I go through his bathroom and I find a fleshlight or like a pocket pussy in the bathroom. So I'm like, well, that explains why he's spending so much time in the fucking bathroom. And to me, it was crazy because I'm like, look, like, I don't care, like, if a guy that I'm with masturbates, like, literally don't care, but like, don't do it while I'm in the house. You know what I mean? Like, he was doing this shit while I was in the house. So then I just started fucking with him. Like, every 5 seconds I had a question for him or was like, you know, nagging him about dinner or whatever. Cause I was like, you're not going to enjoy this because I'm fucking pissed and being petty. So every time he would hide in the bathroom, cause like, he had it in this cabinet and this particular cabinet makes a noise when you open it. So I would know when he was going to do it. So then I would just like start fucking with him because that's what I do. Cause I'm fucking crazy.
So wait, he would be in there with his dick in a sleeve, yeah. Yeah, a pop, whatever. Maybe he had popped a blue chew. We don't know right. just yet. And then you would be like,
well, I wouldn't.
Hey,
I wouldn't,
did you put the,
I wasn't knocking on the door. I would just like be like, hey, okay. like, are you like, when do you want me to make dinner? Or like, what do you want? Or I would like tell him a ridiculous story or just like, whatever, just like randomly making conversation. Cause like, whatever.
And like wait 90 seconds and be like, hey, did you see that? What's going on the news?
Yeah, like yeah. dumb shit like that. So, and he right, was doing right. this like every day. So then I was getting pissed because I'm like, okay, like we don't have sex like that much regularly anyway. And now like, and like part of me was like, all right, like at least he's not cheating on me. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's still really like offensive that he's fucking a pocket pussy while I'm in the house, but like he could be out cheating. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I guess like kudos to like positive changes, you know, but like still sure. I was pissed. Well,
take what you can get. At
yeah.
this point.
So more recently in like the middle of March, I know he had come home late two nights from work and it wasn't like that late, but it was like,
okay. Okay. Wait a second. You're not getting away that easy. Two questions. Okay. Like, where do you plant the listening devices now? And what cameras does he not know about? I know you. The fucking audience knows that at some point between the blue chews that were missing and the disappearing in the bathroom, you're like, I got to get some new alarm clocks.
Oh, yeah. Well, two of the, yeah. And I have three cameras total in my house. There's a fourth one that I'm probably going to get just, you know, for an additional security.
Okay, so I have the front door. You planted new devices.
Well, I have two new devices. So I have the camera that's at my front door, but it's like inside my house. So it's like, it looks out, but it hears all the audio inside. So I have that camera, which he's always known about. And then I have another camera that looks like a phone charger. Actually, well, the two of them are kind of phone chargers. One just looks like a mounting thing, so you can like hold your phone like up, so it's like charging while, like, if you're FaceTiming with people, it's like a stand. And then the other one is just, it's like a black box. And then you just stick any type of cord in it. And so, yeah, so that just sits in my kitchen, just like near the front door, so I can like see who's coming in case you like bring someone home.
So you put these in that time frame?
I had them like, when we were broken up. I bought them when we were broken up.
Okay, why did you buy them when you were broken? Because you wanted to keep tabs on them still.
Yeah. Okay. I know, controlling. So you have those. I'm crazy.
Okay, so those are the only ones that are you leaving?
No, those are the only ones. The bathroom thing is recent, so it's like, and plus it's just like also kind of weird to like put a camera in a bathroom. So I think that's like crossing the line.
Yeah, I think it's illegal too.
But it's just common areas. I mean, I always had like the one in my bedroom, like I said in the last episode or one of the last episodes, that one I had prior to meeting him, and that was always in my room. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just never disclosed it to him, and then he broke that when we broke up. So I noticed the behavior was like changing. He was like mentally checked out for the last, like, I would say like basically the month of March. So I noticed that he comes home late, two nights from work, and not significantly late. Like, it wasn't like hours and hours, but it was like,
are we counting New Year's though? You guys were back together on New Year's. And then forward, you've been together or?
Yep, exactly.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And, you know, and like, you know, in February, like January, February was great. Like, he was like the one initiating like the I love yous and like really just trying to like be attentive and like spend time. So like, he was making progress. Like, things were good for all of January and a big chunk of February. But then it was like towards the end of February and then like into March, like something shifted. And I don't know what the issue was that made him shift. I think part of it was because I was starting to pull back probably, and he gets very, he just gets very upset when he doesn't think that I want to spend time with him, or I don't reciprocate, you know, emotions or things that he would want reciprocated. Hence, I'm going to fast forward a little bit. That's the reason why he cheated on me more recently, because I literally had to go to probation in the morning of this particular morning, and I came back for like 30 minutes because it was, you know, a quick appointment, but then I had another appointment right afterwards. So I literally was, I drove home for 30 minutes and then left again, and he was still sleeping. He didn't even know I had left for probation at that point. So I get back into bed while I'm like waiting the 30 minutes to leave, and he was like upset that I wasn't cuddling with him. And I was like, I told you, I'm like, I have to go in 30 minutes, you know, whatever. So he falls back asleep. I'm not thinking anything of it. Well, that night he gets home. Well, I had texted him when he was at work, and I was like, something just feels weird. Like, are we good? And he was like, I'm at work right now. And I was like, oh, here we fucking go. So he comes home. He says he's going to the gym. He's dressed to go to the gym, gets his bag, whatever, and then doesn't get home. So he leaves for the gym at 10, or like 10:30. He didn't get home until like 5 o'clock in the morning. So I'm livid at this point. So I go, I couldn't go to his car. But I had gone to his car the night before, to see about the blue chews, because he had come home two nights in a row late. And I was like, there's just something so off. So I see that more blue chews were missing, and I was like, this is fucking ridiculous. So he gets home at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm up at this point. Like, I'm just like ready for the day. So I go to Starbucks. And then I was going to go to the beach, because I live right by the beach. I was going to go watch the sunset or sunrise, because I was just like, I just didn't want to be in the house, like while he was like showering and whatever. So as I'm leaving my apartment complex, I look in the back of his car. So in the back of his car, like, it wasn't unlocked, but I could see through the windows. There was this bag that he had condoms in from when he would fuck people in his car when we were broken up. So the bag, I specifically left it the last time I was in his car, like in a specific area, to like know that if it was fucked with, you know what I mean? Like, if he went through the bag. So I left it there. Well, I looked that morning when he gets back at 5 a.m. and the bag is moved. And I was like, oh, he definitely fucking cheated on me. So I text him and I was just like, I'm done. Like at this point, I was like, I'm done. I had suspicions based on the Blue Chew situation and him hiding out, you know, all of his notifications on his phone are off. Like not one comes up, not one, even text messages. He has literally everything turned off. I saw that he has like a fake, his still has his fake number. And he opened the app the other day and there was like a ton of text messages. So I'm just like, you know what? Like, obviously you have like no respect for me. And like he literally told me, he was like, I cheated on you because he was like, I went to the gym and then I went down to Fort Lauderdale, which is like 30 minutes from where we live. He's like, I went to Fort Lauderdale just to fuck around with someone at a random bar. Because he was like, he's like, it really hurt my feelings that you didn't want to cuddle with me that morning. And I was like, I literally told you that I came back from probation and had to leave in 30 minutes to go get my fucking lashes done. Like, I was like, are you fucking serious? I said, mind you, I said, every night that I'm home, I said, you spend hours in the bathroom hiding from me. I said, how do you think that makes me fucking feel? I said, but I don't go cheat on you. You know, I'm like, it's like, it doesn't make any fucking sense. So that was that. And right now, so that was like a week ago. So we're still trying to figure out like everything because he just has not, I mean, like, we just like honestly haven't really spoke. It's just been me like verbally assaulting him via text, being like really nasty. Cause like, I know all of like, you know, his little pain points that make him feel insecure and shitty. So I've been just like verbally assaulting him via text and I raised his rent. I almost doubled it and but it's like fair. It's like for where we live, like one of my friends was like, oh my God, like I can't, like that's a steal. Like, can I move in? Because like she's like, where you live? Like, that's like, honestly, like no one will ever find like rent for that. And he is basically saying he can't afford to pay for it. He's like, I'm going to live out of my car. I said, okay, well have fun living in your car because like, I don't care. You know, I said, you can either live here and pay or you can fuck off, you know? And he was like, now he's talking about moving. I'm like, do whatever you have to do at this point. Like, it's not my fucking problem. Like I said, you ruined a really good thing because you couldn't keep your dick in your pants and go to therapy and just get fucking help. You know what I mean? I said, you just constantly have to hide shit. And what? Oh, and I didn't even tell you the best part. We were talking about money before. When I was going through all of his shit in his room, like the last like month or so, I found that he has $40,000 saved in two different CD accounts. And I saw a deposit slip for like $8,000 or he had $8,000 in this one particular checking account. And I know he has other multiple ones and he's doing stocks and crypto again. So I'm like, obviously he has the fucking money. And like, I think he assumes that I went through it, like his stuff. But like, I was just like, you literally have been working full time now for 2 years and have barely paid a dime, like on anything. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm just like, I know you have the fucking money. Like, let's not, especially when he knows that like my finding, I'm literally mortgaging my house in the process of it because I have so much lawyer fees that I have to pay for, you know what I mean? Cause of this like fucking nonsensical lawsuit that I'm involved in. And like, he knows this. And like, I literally said to him at one point, I was like, I was testing him just to like see if he would understand the severity of the situation. And I was like, I literally could lose my house if I can't afford to pay for the mortgage. I was like, I'm paying off my debts for, you know, the people that lent me the money to pay up my, you know, my lawyer fees thus far. But I said, I was like, if I can't make my mortgage payment, I said, I'm going to lose this house. And like, I was like crying at one point and he was like, don't cry. Like, no, I need you to fucking step up. Like, so I'm sitting there saying to him, and my brother lives like down the road from me. And I was like, yeah, I was like, I might just sell this place and move in with my brother for a period of time. And he kind of just looked at me and he was like, well, I guess you have to do what you have to do. And like that for me, like I was like, oh, he does not value this relationship. Like he does not give a shit. Like we're not doing anything as partners. Like he has $40,000 saved, which like, sure, it's his money, but I've fronted him money for everything, for these animals. I've taken care of them. I've done all the cooking, all the cleaning, everything. And which is my own fault. Like I'm not sitting here like blaming him for everything, but like the fact that he has $40,000 saved and is just kind of like shrugging his shoulders, like, oh yeah, like, that's going to suck if you lose your place. I'm like, I literally said to him, I said, I don't feel safe in this relationship, like in an emotional way. I said, I don't feel safe. I said, I always feel like I'm in fight or flight. I said, you run from all your problems. And I said, all you have to do is like suck it up with me for another year and stash another, you know, 30, 40K. And I said, you could just move and go fuck around in whatever town you want. You know, I said, this isn't a partnership. He's like, well, we're not married. And it's like, well, thank fucking God. Like, thank God we're not married, because like, this isn't how you would handle that. Like, if you're building a life with someone and you've been in a relationship for 2 or 3 years, you know, if you want to progress and like get to that point or not. Like, it doesn't take that long to know, oh, I want to continue building my life with this person, or I'm just really not sure. Like, you know, one way or the other, you know?
Well, okay. Yeah. So, all right, look. This guy hasn't paid for a fucking bloomin' onion at Chili's, okay, at this point. He hasn't paid for drinks. He hasn't paid rent. He hasn't paid whatever.
Up until more recently, yeah.
Okay, but then he stopped again, right?
Well, the food he's been paying for, because I'm literally just so broke right now because I'm just in a weird pattern with my job and whatever. But yeah, so I mean, he's been paying for that.
It took you going broke, right?
Yeah, like bankrupt, basically.
For him to like buy some fucking hot dogs or whatever, right? Yeah. And so can we just evict this guy? Like how long have you guys been broken up?
Like a week.
Okay. All right. Like a week. Here we go again.
I think it's like about a week. Yeah, it's been about a week.
About a week. This is a fresh interview. We got we get the first fucking run of information. I mean, what's the move? And like, why don't you just evict this guy? Because hold on. He is clearly going to just keep doing the same things, right? And I feel like the audience comes to me and is like, what is she not seeing? And I'm like, listen, I don't think it's that simple. I think that there is a piece of her, at least emotionally or mentally, that is attached to him emotionally or mentally. Right. And I think it's not as easy as y'all think. Just to, even though it sounds insane, right? Because at this point, this is the fifth time you've been on the show, and it's, you know, it's been, but I am so looking forward to having like your sixth appearance, perhaps your seventh, whenever. And it's like, oh no, like we're back in it. Where the fucking podcast is back. Like, I'm fucking football players, you know, for the fucking Tampa Bay Buccaneers or whatever the fuck your shit is. Like, I can't wait to see you shine again. And I just feel like we need to send this guy a bill. If he's got the 40K, like break you off a little severance or something. And then he needs to fucking leave, because, and this is just my opinion, right? And maybe the audience will hate me for saying it, but like, you're not doing yourself any favors by keeping him. And I feel like whatever you're about to say next, I could already feel that you just have like a little bit of hope in there. Like, maybe he'll, so take it from there.
Well, okay. So it's not hope. I will say that I increased his rent to like 30%. I did the math and I figured out, like, you know, all of the math based on everything in the area and what he pays or like what he makes and whatever. So I, for the time being, because I'm in this weird pattern with my career right now, I don't have money coming in like I was, obviously. So for me, I'm just looking at him as a check right now. What I'm going to be charging him for rent, which he's already said, no, I'm not paying it. And I'm like, well, if you're living here, you're paying it. Like, you don't have a choice, you know? So, in any case, like, we have to hash through that. Like, actually, right before I got on here, I was like verbally assaulting him via text because he was just like, well, I'm switching jobs right now. And I said, well, I didn't know that. And I said, that's a funny time to like be switching jobs when like all of this is happening, but whatever, that's neither here nor there. But, basically what his rent would be a big chunk of my mortgage payment. So right now, like, I'm fine with coexisting. Like, I've had the ick with him for 2 months now, you know? And it's like, part of me is sad. And it's like, it's with any relationship. It's like, people say it with like people who are like physically abused by their spouses. Like, oh, well, why didn't you just leave? It's like, there's always something that you don't know. You know what I mean? It's never that easy. And one of my things my therapist always says, she's like, you're too empathetic for people with people, or, and you're too sympathetic and you have too much like of a good heart, you know? And she was like, it's not a bad thing to have all of that. But she was like, it's bad when you're in a relationship because you constantly put yourself, you know, oh, well, he feels this way, so I'm going to try to change myself so I can make this better or whatever. And she's like, you always come up with different ways to try to like alter the things. And she was like, you can't alter this. Like she gave me, she always says this. She was like, when you're dating someone, it's like buying a piece of clothing off the rack. She said, if you're buying it, it doesn't matter what store you're buying it from. When you buy it off the rack, if it doesn't fit you perfectly, you are going to have to alter and alter and alter and fuck with it. And it's still probably never going to fit exactly right, you know? And she's like, that's what you're doing with him. She's like, you bought him off the rack. And she's like, you're trying to make it into something that it's not, you know? She was like, he is very surface level with you of like his actions. Like, she's like, fuck what he's saying, you know? But she was like, she's like, I get that you're trying to, you know, be empathetic with him, but she's like, you're not his therapist. And like, he needs to figure out his shit. Like, cause she keeps saying that I'm like psychoanalyzing him. Cause like, I see some of the issues that he has and I know how to kind of fix them, but he doesn't want to fix them. You know, it's like seeing, you know, when I was 400 pounds, you know, everyone could tell me a million things about dieting and whatever, but if I didn't want to diet, I didn't want to diet and I was still 400 pounds. So it's the same with his mental health shit, you know? So as of right now, I already told him that he has to pay me for this month, cause he has not paid. And I told him that he is going to have to start the new rent next month. Like the increase.
So April 1st.
Yeah. April 1st is going to be the increased rent. Okay. And he basically said that he can't pay for it and he's going to have to live out of his car and whatever. And I said, fine. And so I was like, well, I said, I'm selling all the animals. I just told him whatever he leaves here is being forfeited. And I will sell them and we can split everything 50-50 because he purchased some of the animals. I purchased some of them. I purchased the tanks. And, you know, so it was like, I was like, we'll just split it 50-50. You know, I was like, we can find local people that want to purchase these animals. And, you know, I said, you can keep whatever ones you want. But I said, if you leave them here, when you leave, I am either flushing them or throwing them out or setting them free or whatever. I don't even care, you know? So that is kind of that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my friend John, I was talking to him the other night and it's funny that you were like, oh, I can't wait to see you shine and like do stuff with the podcast anymore. And John actually brought it up to me. And like, the more I really thought about it, like, cause I said to him, cause John is, and for those of you who don't know John is my best friend. He's been on my podcast several times and whatever. So he is like my fearless friend that has known all of my shit for the last, like over the last decade, I would say. And I was telling him that I broke up with Koala and he was very excited because he's never liked Koala from the start, ever. Like he just has, from day one, he was like, please do not date this kid. You know, like you could do so much better. Mm-hmm. And, he was saying, he was like, Stephanie, he was like, he is, because I said to him about, you know, I was talking about my legal stuff and I was like, my life just sucks right now. I said, it's in shambles. And I said, I just don't know what I did to deserve this because I said, everything that could have gone wrong lately has gone wrong. And he said to me, he was like, dating Koala is a direct relationship to everything bad that's happened in your life. And I was like, that's not true. And he was like, no, it is true. He was like, every single thing that bad that has happened in the last 2 years is directly related to him. He was like, all of your money issues, because I was in debt like last year because of, you know, him not paying for anything. And I was basically supporting two people on a single person salary, you know, and it's not like I'm rolling in like, you know, fucking seven figures here, you know, like, so even six figures, like I'm like, you know, not making that much money. So I, you know, he was like, that's part of the issue. He was like, your DUI, you got basically because of him, which did I share my DUI story with you on the podcast? Mm-hmm. Like how he was like out with a girl that night and I was so upset.
Actually, I think you covered it up because, see, I knew the real story because you texted me. But I think if you want,
I'll share it. It's whatever. So I got a DUI. Okay. I was at a company Christmas party for one of my ex-employers, and you know, I like to drink and have fun and whatever. And I was going to this party and he knew that. And there was this trans girl that he had been wanting to sleep with. He had been trying to get her to sleep with both of us at the time. And she was adamant that she did not want me involved. And he went down to see her the day I got my DUI because he knew I was working all day and then had dinner that night. Excuse me. I was not going to be home until a little bit later. And he decides to tell me that he's going to be sleeping over at this girl's house. So for me, like, I was able to compartmentalize at the time him going to sleep with a trans girl because I was like, whatever, like, obviously it's, you know, I'm not trans, so it's fine, whatever. But the whole sleeping over thing, especially when I knew that they had a history of just, you know, talking actively and all of that stuff, like, it just really set me off. So I had gotten very drunk and I was driving home. I crashed my car. And luckily, my friend John, I was on the phone with him actually at the time when I was in the car and he was Ubering home. And he had his Uber turn around and come back to the accident. He tried to get in touch with Koala because obviously he knew him. And he didn't have his phone number. So he was trying to contact him via Instagram. And Koala just like wasn't responding. And like his just response was very like low effort at the time. Like John was very upset with like how he responded. And so I'm now in the prison at this point, like from, you know, not like the actual, but it's like the holding cell, like before you get into the prison. Like I wasn't just in like the local police station. They had to like take me to a prison. And I had two phones with me. One was my work phone. One was my personal phone. My personal phone was dead. My work phone had like 5% battery. I get in touch with John. He was able to come pick me up from the prison. And I charged my phone, no response from Koala, not a text, a phone call. It didn't have anything from him the entire time. So I'm sitting there like the whole night in jail, then carted up to this prison and like all this stuff and no word from him, like in the next morning. So then John, like, I still cannot like thank John enough. Like he helped me with everything. Like he helped me like break the news to my parents because he's very close with my parents. So he like left work early and took me over there and got me in contact with a lawyer that he knows and, you know, just everything. Like he was just helping facilitate everything. And he, I think, ended up taking me back to my apartment probably like, I don't know, 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon. And Koala then finally reached out to me like that late. So like this accident, so he was aware of the accident the night before and at like, which happened at like probably like 10 or 11 and did not choose to leave Fort Lauderdale. Cause that's where he was until like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And did not say one thing to me because he was like hanging out with this girl. So I should have known then, but like at the time, like my life had been so turned upside down and he was like the one constant thing. Cause like my parents weren't talking to me because of the DUI and like my relationship with them suffered a lot. Well, at the time, you know, and you know, I didn't have a lot of people. Like I felt like in my corner, you know, like I lost my job because of it. It was a mess. So he was the one constant in my life. So that was like always part of like what kept holding me on. Cause I was like, okay, like he's still like a normal thing that's happening in my life. You know what I mean? Like I just like want to try to make this work at least. So I have some like semblance of like, you know, whatever, some type of good thing. But yeah, so that was the DUI story, but.
Okay. So this guy is a fucking piece of shit. This is the fifth time that we've had this discussion, yeah. Right? And I mean, give me like a percentage, like out of 100%, what percent do you truly feel in your gut that you are going to like, that this breakup is final, this guy's out of your fucking apartment and that this is going to stick? Be honest. Is it 70-30?
Like the percent of him staying, I don't know what his situation is going to be like financially. Cause apparently he just broke the news to me like 5 minutes ago that like he is getting another job and it's like commission based. So I don't, I'm not budging on the rent. So realistically, like, you know, I mean, he might leave tonight or he might, like, I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do. everyone in like in my circle is just like, he needs to leave so you can like move on. For me, I feel like I kind of already have moved on. Just, I mean, look, I'm still sad about it just because it's like, I think of all the time that like, you know, it's like, there's a lot of like good things that did happen between us. And like, there are memories and all that stuff, you know,
this is what you said last time, just so you know.
It's like, it's for me, it's like, it's always very hard. Cause it's like, I don't know. It's just like, where do like the memories go? Where does love go? Like when you're done, you know, it's like,
you write songs about it or a book or something. And then that's it. You podcast about it. You make a fucking $1 million. Yes. So like, okay, this is what I want to do. Okay, because obviously we're going to check back in and we're going to find whatever. And I love that every time you come with a saucer full of secrets that we didn't learn the last time. It's very nice, very cool. But like, I'm worried about you, right?
Because I genuinely care. Saying. Like literally, one of my best friends, like that she hasn't even like seen me. She was like, you're not acting normal, you know? And it's like, that's what's crazy is like when John said it to me the other night about like, oh, like everything in your life negatively is directly affected like from it's him.
So
like when I really like thought about it, I was like, wow, like I just like, I don't even feel like the person who started the Dirty Blondes like 3 years ago or however long it was. Like, I don't know who that is anymore, you know? So.
But the thing is you are smart. You are like beyond capable. I just think that you need to remember that. And I think that getting this fucking like sucking the poison out, you got to get him out of the fucking house, first of all. And I know that that's going to be like hard and it's going to suck and like whatever, but like what else? I mean, if you stay, right? If let's, okay, whatever. He's just going to cheat on you again.
Right.
He's going to lie to you. He's going to fucking, you know, blow through all the blue chews. This guy is young. He doesn't know who he is.
Yeah.
He's all over the fucking place. And it's not fair to you that like, you know, your life, your podcast, your finances have like gone down the drain because of someone who won't even like lend a hand to care about you and is behind your back, like, you know, having sex with whomever. Right.
Right. And that's what I said to him. I was like, I don't even feel like you're ever in my corner. I said, and I said it about the podcast. I said, you wanted me to stop the podcast forever ago. I said, because you didn't support it and you thought it was stupid. Mm-hmm. I said, you think everyone who does a podcast is stupid because you don't listen to them. But I was like, I like doing it. I said, I've always liked doing it. And I said, you were just embarrassed because you didn't want your shit shared, which, you know, he could have ran with the narrative that he wanted to present, but now he gets my narrative, which, you know, if any of his family or friends find out, they probably would like,
well,
not like,
well, and like my audience has like developed like a love and an affection and a care for you. Right. So I can only imagine like where the Dirty Blondes audience is.
Well, they're
is,
all like, where is, the fuck are you? Like,
right. Right. And whatever. And that's a beautiful thing too, as well. And as a podcaster, not only have you inspired me, right, to like work as hard as I work at the show, but you've also like helped me more than most people have helped me with my show, with finding guests and like introducing me to wonderful fucking things and things I never thought about. So you are beyond this. You are so much better off without this guy. And I think, and I just think that I know it's hard and I'm not like telling you, like, you got to do it and whatever. So this is what I want to do. Okay. I said my piece again, whatever, because I care about you. But what I want to do is I want to invite anybody who's listening, because we talked about this a little bit.
Yeah.
Anybody who's listening to this, anybody who's watching this on YouTube, if they have questions for you, they should reach out to me in the DMs, to you in your DMs. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But make sure it's in the messages, not in comments, because shit gets lost.
Yeah. 100%.
And then like if we get enough questions, which I'm sure we will, we'll do like a special
episode. Yeah, I'll answer any questions. Oh my God. It doesn't have to just be about him, but myself too. I mean, I'm
sure.
Book,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's totally fine.
So, okay. April 1st is approaching. Hopefully this guy's out of there. And obviously everybody reach out to me, reach out to Stephanie. Stephanie Smith, okay, you have the crown for most appearances, but let's remind everybody who's watching, everybody who's listening, everybody who might want to ask you on a fucking date, like where they could find you, where they can follow you.
Well, I don't know if anyone would want to date me at this point in time because I am a fucking mental health patient. So there's that. But you can go on my Instagram, which is Dirty Blondes Pod. I have to update the link tree because I actually started an OnlyFans and a Slushy account because I was feeling so shitty about myself. And I was like, let me just like do this to like kind of get my power back. And so I had posted that actually before, like on my Snapchat before Koala and I broke up. So I'll put the links in there. My username on both is Boca Blonde. But I'll put the links in there if you want to subscribe or pay-per-view videos and shit. I do all of that now.
Okay, wait a minute. You wait till the end. Okay, so now you have to come back. Number one, number two, what is a Slushy account? I don't even know.
Slushy is like a mix between TikTok and OnlyFans. So basically, you can follow people for free. Some of them have, you know, you can pay for accounts too, but you can pay to chat. You can pay, you know, you can see. It's like TikTok where you scroll through it and like there's like these quick little videos, but then you can actually add, you know, OnlyFans style content or, you know, there's like tip menus and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, it's a little bit more.
How long have you been on OnlyFans?
So actually it's funny. I created an OnlyFans forever ago when I was actively in the podcast because I was going to review sex toys as part of it. And I never got around to it because I met Koala and then like the podcast stopped. So I just ended up switching the name and then just started doing my own thing. I'm like just getting started on it. And I really more so did it to like spite him because I was like posting it on my Snapchat and he was like pissed about it. And I was like, well, I don't fucking care. Like, sorry, not sorry. So
is it mainly like just solo like masturbation stuff with you?
Yeah. Or is it like pictures. Okay. I have a couple guys actually that I know that like are forever going to be on my roster that have been reaching out to be like, hey, can we make content? Cause they just like, they want to see me. So there might be some of that happening. A lot of the ones that have reached out don't live like super close to me. So it's a little bit of a challenge.
But I mean, fuck, what an amazing cliffhanger to end that on. Jesus Christ. Stephanie Smith, thank you so much for being with me again. You know, you're going to figure this out. Yeah. I'm here. Your people are behind you. You have a fan base community that's like fucking rallying in my DMs for you. Until next time, but thank you so much for being here once again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I can't wait to come back again. Well, just let me know when you get all those questions in. And seriously, I'll answer any questions. So if you guys have questions, just reach out to Dustin and I will answer whatever questions you need.
We're fucking doing the damn thing. And then we'll bring you back to talk about the OnlyFans.
So. Okay.
Amazing. Talk soon.
All right. Bye, guys. Thanks.
I told you guys it was a shocker. It's always a shocker with Stephanie when she's on the show. Listen, submit your questions to me. Anything you want to ask her, you can remain anonymous if you'd like. Whatever. Ask away. We'll bring her back to do a special bonus episode or some sort of Instagram live. And we'll get all your questions answered. If you are loving guests like Stephanie, if you want to see Stephanie again, you're listening to this show on platforms like Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube Music, Amazon Music, wherever, right? You could leave a rating if you want to show some love. You could leave a review if you want to show some love. But the most important thing you could do is make sure that you are subscribed to the show, especially on Apple, since they are unsubscribing people who haven't listened in a long time. You want to make sure you hit that button. You want to make sure you're subscribed because then you never miss an episode every single fucking Wednesday. If you are watching the show on YouTube, listen, if you're watching on YouTube, what's your favorite kind of snack to have after sex? Is it nachos? Is it ice cream? Is it ice cream nachos? Is it something weird? What's your go-to snack after just a pounding, right? If you're watching on YouTube, I love you. I see you. I appreciate you. Again, you could like this video. You could leave comments. Those are appreciated. But in order to experience the show in the fullest, most loveliest, sexiest form, you want to make sure you're subscribed. So make sure you're subscribed on YouTube as well. I am available in the DMs on Instagram, and I will see you all right back here next week.
Thanks for listening. The party continues next week. Click subscribe and let's make this a regular thing. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter @SexPartyFM. Follow Dustin @DustinRibka.